John wrote these words. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And here we sit on Good Friday in the evening, 2,000 years later, and the resonance in our hearts is light has overcome darkness. Light has overcome darkness. Right in the beginning, long before anything was made, God was. And then he created. He spoke the word. And as he spoke, it says, "And the earth was void and without form." And then he spoke over the earth and he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus is the light of the world. We started preaching in December at Christmas time, and we made some statements. We said things like, Jesus is coming as the baby, the Christ child, to be born as a man, fully God, but fully human. And now we are here at Easter, and we're remembering that Jesus, the God-man, the man like us, but filled with the presence of God, being God himself, was taken and crucified on that cross. Jesus came to die. He was born with one purpose. God set him apart that he might become for us this amazing, pure light in the darkness. Jesus was sent so that as he overcame the darkness for mankind, that he could become our perfect Savior. When we could not save ourselves, he was sent. Sin and darkness covered our hearts, because every time we have done things that are against who God is, we have laden sin and guilt upon ourselves. Sin corrupts us. Sin corrupts the world that God made. Sin separates us from God and puts together things that should never be put together and separates us from everything that we should be joined to. Sin violates us. It violates who we are. It changes us. It damages the image of God in man, so that none are righteous and none are good and no one can stand before the pure white light of God. Sin violates where we are. The world we live in has been damaged. And you think global warming's a problem. Sin is really the problem, because every sinful action of man has damaged the world. It's damaged community. It's damaged people's lives. It's damaged everything. And it's damaged why we are here. Because God made us for himself. But Jesus has come. He has come to overturn sin and death. When they put him in the grave, a miracle was about to happen that would transform everything about us. You see, the Bible tells us that through the sin of one man, death entered into life, into the world. And we remember what happened. We remember how Adam sinned. But then we've all contributed our part to play. And death is at work in the world. But when Jesus came and died on our behalf so that our lives could be joined with his, he came through one man, righteousness and grace and forgiveness could be available to all. Because Jesus has come to restore all the things that were broken, all our guilt and sin and shame, mine and yours, and every other human being's was loaded on Jesus on that cross. the physical suffering was very small compared to the weight of all that was laid on his life. Because you see, sin and unrighteousness and injustice and guilt and shame has to go somewhere. And without Jesus, we just keep putting it on each other. And when we turn to Jesus and we see who he is on that cross, all the guilt and sin and shame of mankind was laid on him. In Romans it says, and God chose to make him sin so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. We celebrate what Jesus has done. We celebrate because he came to give us grace and truth. He came to enable us and empower us that as we put our faith and trust in him, we might be able to be those who live and walk in the way that he prepared and planned for us. He came to set things right so that we might be restored to our Father. He came to set things right so that we might be filled with joy, that our purpose might be restored, that we might worship freely and know who he is. He came so that we might see our Father. He came so that we might love one another. So this evening, it's Good Friday. I know we're telling the whole story tonight, but we come filled with a heart that says, Jesus, I'm not going to be a Judas or a Peter. I'm not going to find myself on the wrong side of things because Jesus came to restore all of us. He came to restore faith. And so tonight, we're going to get an opportunity to look to Jesus and by faith to say to him, Jesus, your sacrifice, I would like to be my own. Set me free from my sin and my bondage. As we put our faith in him, hope is restored to us. Our future is secure. Tonight as we worship together, there's an opportunity for the love of God to just pour into our hearts, to begin to flood us, to begin to overwhelm us. Tonight we sit in a place that's slightly darkened, soon going to get really bright. And it's going to get bright not just because the light's gone, but because Jesus is in you. Your heart is alive in him. And you are free to worship. You're free to adore him. You're free to love him. You're free to take your rightful place. And we're not just free to worship. We're then free to participate with Jesus in his great purpose for us. Right from the beginning, his purpose was that we would proclaim his name. We do it in our worship. We do it in our work. We do it in our walk day by day. We do it at every moment.